Hello and welcome to How Can We Help? The Advice Podcast, featuring two uncredited,
unlicensed, uncredited, untrusted,
unethical, unliked.
He went there.
Not well liked.
Not never celebrated.
Unwelcome in many establishments.
Uninvited.
Uninvited. Undeniable.
Unforgettable.
And we're back to positive. It's us. It's me, Mark Little, and it's the ever here, Jackie Pirico.
That is one of the nicest credits I've ever got. Whenever I am somewhere, you can't say I'm not there.
Yeah, that's your take on the old saying, wherever you are, there you are.
Yeah.
So since we don't have a guest this week, which is our right, our prerogative, and frankly, our wish.
Yeah, we don't always have to have someone breathing down our neck.
Yeah. Oh, talk about me. Let me promote my thing. How about this? How about promote fuck off?
Yeah.
And talk
first
about
of all, promote
nothing.
That.
Get out of here.
And fuck off while you're doing it.
Yeah. So first segment for this day, this episode, will be Jackie's rant. What are you ranting about today?
I have so many, but I guess I'll have to pick just one if it's a short segment. This really rubs me the wrong fucking way. Because I love animals and pets so much, all of my social medias are really like gearing me towards that with the algorithm. And sometimes I come across these accounts that make me so mad. They are like bad taxidermy accounts. Have you seen this?
No.
Oh, it's a big joke where people do like put poor animals like fox or like whatever, even cats and dogs or like wolves or like, it's bad. And I guess, yes, taxidermy, whatever they're called, taxidermists, do have to start somewhere, I guess, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's like this really bad, or maybe it's like homemade taxidermy that makes the poor animal look like deranged and like, yes, it looks funny. Their eyes are like googly and they're like doing a crazy face. Yeah, ha ha ha. But it's not funny. It's not funny. Stop laughing. It's not funny.
It's not funny to taxidermy an animal making a goofy face?
Well, like they're not trying to make it have a goofy face. This is a sincere attempt at taxidermy.
Right.
But it's going wrong. It's gone pear-shaped because they're not good at it. Like the taxidermist sucks. So they just don't look. And I just think it's so disrespectful and it's not funny. And I don't like when I see people liking it and laughing at it. It's not funny.
So who are you mad at? The taxidermist or the people sharing these with a lark?
Sharing them with as a lark.
You think the taxidermist should be allowed to find their craft.
Yes.
With sincerity, without ridicule.
I'm not worried about the feelings of the taxidermist.
Okay, I'm just clarifying.
I'm mad at how disrespectful it is to the animal.
Right.
So then this animal is now a joke and they lived a nice life. They lived a good, well, like, okay, let's say it was a fox.
Okay.
And it's like living a nice life in the woods.
Yeah.
It's doing its thing, and now it's immortalized.
You've given yourself like a difficult one to start with, because you could have said cat or dog. Would have been more believable that it had led like an ethical, nice life. A fox is kind of like a, you know, a roll of the dice.
Well, no. Maybe I shouldn't have said ethical.
A fox can be doing crime.
Well, fine, but it has a life. It's a rich, rounded character, okay?
Okay.
It has a life. It's a beautiful being, whether it's up to no good or not.
Right.
Actually, I like when animals be bad.
You like when animals be that.
Be bad.
Oh, be bad.
Yeah, I like when animals be bad. I think it's funny.
Yeah, I like when animals be bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I love when Netland's bad girl.
Yeah, sorry, one second. Stefan's telling me that the t-shirt is being printed as we speak. So
what is it?
So pick up your I like when animals be bad t-shirt at lemonparty.com. Lemon Party, it's bad.
Not bad again.
The old men are still sucking and fucking at lemonparty.com. Sorry, okay. You like when animals be bad.
Yeah, so like, so, but it's just so, I just find it so disrespectful for an animal to be immortalized forever in such like as a joke, like a laugh. Because can you imagine like someone in their coffin was like, they made them do like a funny face or like a, like or something. Or like, and then it was shared, like it's shared forever. It's not funny. I don't like when people are like, ah, ha, ha, oh my God, this bad taxidermy. Like, it makes me actually sad.
Now that you've said it, though, I want that to be my coffin situation. I want them to, like, cross my eyes and stick my tongue out a little bit.
I don't want that for you.
Or I want my eyes to be rolled up and my mouth to be open and then a little speech bubble that's like, oh, brother, not this again. Or just saying, let me guess. I'm dead.
I just get mad that people think that it's a big funny joke to like laugh at a poor animal that's like now they have become a joke and they're dead.
You are more concerned with animal welfare than anyone I know.
Oh yeah?
I think so. Like because you're even concerned with the dignity of an animal after its death.
Yes, that's Mark, that's the exact word I was like searching for. It's such an undignified, such an indignity.
Yeah. Whereas I think I'm the other way where I'm like, well, fuck, if we're going to eat animals.
I know.
Like that's so much worse than just, I don't know, making fun of them a little with some bad taxidermy.
I know. And I wrestle with I don't eat meat all the time, right. But I'm not a pure vegetarian at all.
But when you do, and if I may say, bad. You eat fox. Like I've seen Never. You specifically, you go to the keg and you say, how's the fox? And then they have to ask you what you mean.
Oh my God.
You and do then though. Then you do.
They
I know.
Set off an alert.
I know you don't want to get in hot water or whatever, but you do. Like I've seen you. I've seen you on the
Why
hunt.
Why are you watching me at the keg? Oh, I'm always at the keg alone.
I've seen you with your basset hound on your horse with your red riding gear and your crop.
Searching for fox.
And your little helmet and your whole pack in the English countryside.
Of basset hounds.
Yeah, and you've got your little bugle and you say, the hunt is good today. How's the hunt today, you say? And you say, oh, it's fine, it's fine.
I feel bad for eating. I don't eat beef very often, but I do feel bad when I do.
Yeah.
Because I've seen so many cows and pet so many cows, even kiss them on the cheek.
Right.
And they're so they're like big dogs.
Right.
Yeah. I do feel bad. It's a big cognitive dissonance.
Right.
For me.
I think that's why it's I think I lean into the cynical side because I'm like, well, if we're eating them, who gives a shit?
Well, that's a good point.
All bets are off.
It's a good point.
That being said, I like the movie Babe a lot.
I haven't seen Babe.
What? Really?
I know. I was so inundated with Babe culture at the time that I was just like, enough.
Babe culture.
Yeah, Babe was so big that I was like, no,
everyone
I don't
was
even
doing
want
like
it.
The online Babe TikTok dances where they sort of pulled their nose up and shook their ass. Piggy style.
I was done with it before I even saw it.
That's interesting because it's so Jackie as
Is
a movie.
It? One time I went on this, it was a big mistake, but I went on a date with this guy who I later found out was, well, there's a lot more to him than met the eye. But then he kind of was I guess he was didn't have a house. Yeah. So he ended up really staying at my place too much. And then he's like, oh, and then we went to the video store and he's like, oh, we have to get this. And it was Happy Feet.
Yeah.
And then,
another George Miller, I think.
Is that the same
director
as Babe?
As Babe
oh, okay.
Too,
okay.
Yeah.
And
Producer
so then we watched at my house and he goes, this is my favorite movie. And he was pissing his pants laughing at it.
When you
and
said
I was like, I can't do this.
When you said there was more to him than met the eye, I thought you meant a dark soul.
Well,
but what you meant is he was a little kid who'd wished to be big.
Yeah. And then it happened for him.
And then it happened.
And then he stumbled upon me.
Yeah.
He was a busker in Montreal. He was
okay. That's
I know.
That's impersonating a red flag.
I know. But he was on
It's a red flag that wished to be man.
A red flag that accidentally rubbed a lamb
and got
some wishes.
He stumbled off the soccer field out of the linesman's hand, made a couple wishes, became a man.
A man.
Chose to be a busker.
A busker. He was busking, drummers that are it's all buckets?
Yeah, stomp style. Oh, I can't. Yes. I love it.
And then I was I don't know how I ended up talking to him. But he was hitting on me. And then he was I told him come for a drink at my work. I worked at a bar. Yeah. And then he came, but then he had all of his drums with him. And I was and then he was drinking with some crusty friends. And I was serving them all night. And then, but it's not free drinks. Just because you know me, these aren't free drinks. I was serving them all night. I was really young. I was in my early 20s.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the night, he's oh, okay. Oh, I have to pay. Okay. And he paid with all the change.
Oh, no.
And I had to count it all and he didn't tip. And then somehow I still oh, God, you know what? Let's cut all of this, Stefan.
You
I went home with him.
No.
What's that? What did you say?
You went home with him?
Yes. Yes. Well, he went home with me.
Oh, yeah.
And then
he
wouldn't
a place to
leave.
Crash.
He wouldn't fucking
He
leave.
Looked around your whole apartment and he was like, what
oh,
a big drum.
Ooh, la. Ooh la la. So
Look
you,
at all this drum.
You have this whole drum to yourself?
Which part of the drum do you sleep in?
And then he ended up staying for days and
Of course he did. You just described a guy with drum bindles. You described a boxcar
yes.
drummer.
And then I think the Happy Feet was the last straw. And he was gutting himself at this movie, and I hated it. And he's like, and I just wanted my house back to myself, and like I wanted to like to be alone. I wanted him to leave so bad.
Yeah.
I think after that, I was like, yeah, Dan.
Yeah.
Return this movie while you're like on your way out.
And he was like, oh, I had to rent it. Can you pay my late fees?
Nightmare. So that's like kind of like these kind of very saccharine movies are triggering for me.
Yeah.
Reminds me of Happy Feet.
Right. Jackie, every time I find out more about your dating history, it's like
so alarming.
It's so alarming. Like this is it's wild.
I was really young and dumb.
You there was an age when I would have been attracted to like busker life people or like, you know, like camp counselor, like kind of granola hemp,
okay,
hemp necklace.
This guy was more of a squeegee kid than a camp counselor. Like,
I feel like that's a fine line.
You think?
It's a blurry line.
But like squeegee kid meaning crust punk.
Yeah, blurry line.
Between that and camp counselor?
Yeah, for me, yeah.
What's a camp? What camps were you going to?
Camp Squeegee. Camp Traffic. Camp Drum.
Camp,
you know, the
soapy
usual.
Water in a bucket.
Yeah, Camp Soapy Water Bucket. You ready to answer some questions, Jackie?
Yes, I'm all up for it.
All right, we got some really good questions from our, so far not even listeners.
Right.
But our engagers.
Yeah, we have a lot of nice engagers.
Yeah, so if you have any questions that you want advice on, be they silly or drastically real.
Yeah, really real and really, really...
Hideously
vulnerable and revealing.
Vulnerable. Yeah, ugly. You can send it in anonymously. We have a form that currently we're sharing through Jackie's Instagram,
yeah,
and possibly other online Twitter, maybe.
Yeah.
But go to at Jackie Pirico.
Yes.
And,
links in my bio.
Links in her bio.
To the form, the anonymous form.
And follow her while you're at it.
Yes, please.
Yeah.
Every time Twitter gets, or every time Instagram gets rid of bots, they do a bot sweep. I lose followers because of bots.
Oh, yeah.
And then I think everyone starts to hate me all of a sudden. I'm like, oh no, it's the bots.
Oh, it's the bots. It's simply your mass following of bots.
Bots, exactly.
But in fairness, the bots really come out in droves for your shows.
Yeah.
So they should be able to find out about that.
Yeah, you're right. I shouldn't drag the bots.
I remember your last show. There was just like every time you told a good joke, there was a lot of good, good, good.
Like.
I'm sexy. I'm single. You're doing crowd work, and that one woman who kept kind of existing and not existing.
Yes, yeah, off and on.
She kept telling you she was sexy, single,
yeah,
and
sexy,
critically
single.
Nearby. Yeah. Anyway, so we don't want to slam the bot.
No, never.
They help us.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Jackie. I have a love life question.
I love life.
Mm-hmm. I met a boy, in brackets, man. Okay. Whom I believed was a single dad, as he does not wear a ring and lives alone.
Okay.
We started a bit of a rendezvous until I found out that he is actually married.
Oh my goodness.
Yikes. I immediately cut things off without question and felt terrible about the whole situation. He recently had gotten in touch to let me know that he thinks he's in love with me and that I'm his soulmate. Double yikes. Supposedly, the marriage is a very unhappy one.
Oh, brother.
Yeah, I knew you were going to do that. And came about due to an accidental pregnancy.
Oh, my God. What? Okay, sorry. Okay,
once,
go on.
Almost done. Pre-discovery of his marriage, I was also feeling a bit soulmatey and gaga as well. Am I wrong in saying no way, Jose, and staying away from him? Signed, Lady Gaga.
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 Oh my God, this is really real, isn't it?
It's really rich. It's really real.
There's a lot to mine here. There's a lot of... Okay, so she thought he was single because he wasn't wearing a ring, but then... And lives alone.
Did she say he lives alone?
I thought that I heard lives alone.
Yeah, lives alone.
So was he, my question is, if he was lying that he lives alone, because obviously if he is married, he lives with the wife and kid. So he lied that he's living alone.
Right.
And then he kind of, by not wearing the ring and like lying by omission, that's lying by omission kind of like, right?
I don't know. Like sometimes I don't wear my ring because it hurts.
Does it hurt you?
And then the only way that it can make the only thing to make my ring wound feel better is the love of another woman.
It's the only salve.
The one night embrace of a stranger. That's what doctor said I need.
My dad never wore his ring because he's allergic to like some metal. Okay.
Yeah. It's the metal I'm allergic to is called
meddling wife.
Meddling wife.
So he doesn't wear a ring. And he may have lied about living alone. I wonder how the discovery occurred. But here's what my thing is. What you've got to do is, in this situation, because, yes, it's hard to know. Because some long-lasting true love relationships do come out of this kind of thing, right? Mm-hmm. I know some couples that got together when one of them was involved in a relationship. And you just know it isn't right. And you meet the right person. It's not impossible. It's not impossible.
Right.
But there's a lot of red flags here. There's some omission of the truth, which yes. is lying by omission. There's not wearing the ring. And then there's this old timey thing of they only got married because of an accidental pregnancy. Sorry, what year is it?
Yeah.
What year is it?
Yeah, he has 500 a year, so that helps. But his accidental pregnancy on the continent of all places after an unsuccessful steamship voyage with his betrothed.
Like, is it like the kind of thing where it's like they have to lie about like the date of the pregnancy so that no one can find out it was before marriage? Like that, yeah. That doesn't track to me. Yeah. And when there's a kid involved, that's so disrespectful to like the mom of the kid. Like that's your kid's mom that you're like saying, oh, the only reason I got together with her is because she got pregnant. Like, how's it accidental? Anyway, so now yeah. I'm mad at this guy for a minute. So this is the advice that my mom always gave me. What they'll do with you, they will do to you.
Interesting.
Yeah. So if he's getting together with you under these circumstances, then you got to know that there's a good possibility that down the line, even if you're in love right now, that he'll be like, the only reason I got together with her is because I was with someone else before her. And the only reason I was with her is because he sounds good at thinking up excuses.
Yeah.
But like, but now he says he's in love with you. I mean, that feels good to hear, doesn't it? It's so easy to get swept up in that.
Yeah, here's the point counterpoint, and let's focus on the counterpoint. He loves you. And honey, that doesn't come along every day. Now, does he mean it? Only time will tell.
But hearing it doesn't come along every
day. You'll never get anywhere without taking a risk.
That's true, too.
If you climb a mountain with a harness, guess what? Yeah, you climbed the mountain.
But did you really? How good did you climb
it? Did the photographers follow you up there to record your ascent?
No, what I think she should do is kind of maybe, I think I've used disguises before in my advice, but maybe a little bit of a disguise. Befriend the wife.
Okay.
Befriend the wife secretly.
Let me go
as
one
another
further.
Person.
Move into the house as the nanny.
Scottish or English?
In an elaborate disguise. We're thinking Scottish. Take care of the kid. Suss out the situation. Win over the kid.
Win
over the wife.
Now we're forming allegiances.
Win over the husband.
Uh-huh.
Win over all of them. Stay as the nanny.
Wait, she still has to win over the husband?
Become a nanny.
Oh, yeah, because she's disguised. Oh, yeah, she's a different person
just
now.
Just be the nanny.
Yeah, just be the nanny, and then everyone will love you.
That's the lie of Mrs. Doubtfire, is that eventually a nanny must be revealed.
Yeah. Yeah. What was his long game plan?
Be the nanny.
Yeah, but like, what was...
I don't
know.
That
remember. Was it?
I don't know. Nanny
till he dies?
Yeah, I'm not in this game to half nanny. A nanny's
I don't
got
half
a,
nanny anything.
You got a full nanny.
No, she needs to befriend the wife to find out from the wife's perspective of how this, because the wife might say, oh, well, yeah, we're great. Everything's great.
So befriend the wife, maybe.
To get the real truth.
Yeah, maybe become a nanny or become a teacher or a mentor to the child. Get some info there.
Yes.
Get the dirt every way you can.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because what if you have, you know, coffee with the wife and she's like, oh yeah, we barely live together. We're just keeping it up as appearances for the kid. Then you've got the information you need to be like, okay, let's do this.
Right.
But I just don't think you can ever fully trust the guy.
It does seem like, okay, yeah, my instinct is to believe men. And you know that. Like, that's sort of my politics. So there's not much more to say than that.
Well, know what I would actually do, because I'm competitive as well. Know what I would actually come back and say? Well, actually, I'm married too.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot to mention that as well.
Yeah, actually, I'm married too. And it's even less happy than your marriage. And we only got married because of a double twin accidental pregnancy.
Yeah.
You got to one up these people.
Yeah.
One up them and then say, and I love you even more.
Yeah. I'd do anything for you.
I don't know what this person should do.
Okay,
it's so complicated.
You
want to
be real for a second?
Yeah.
It's... And I know you're absolutely right that it sounds like something out of like a Jane Austen novel.
Uh-huh.
Like it sounds...
The old-timey thing.
Like it's like this whole like accidental pregnancy. Like it sounds like something where you have every reason not to trust the guy.
Yes.
But then, it turns out he's okay. And the actual guy you shouldn't distrust is the guy who seems like he's got it all put together.
Right. Like that one guy that came along first in Pride and Prejudice.
Right. But he's actually all he's got is a title and debts.
Yes. Yes.
and a handful of, he's got debts in one hand and the other hand, he's got schemes. All he is just debts and schemes.
He's a snowball of debts and schemes, honey.
Yeah, and that other guy was honest with you about the accidental pregnancy. He came on a bit brusque.
I hate this for this baby. This is so rude to the baby, too. Or the child, isn't it? Oh, right. We only got together because this guy was an accident.
Right.
It's so mean. I think that maybe he's mean deep down. That's a bit mean.
That's what I was going to say, is that barring a Jane Austen-esque twist, this guy is so clearly... lying.
Yes.
It really seems clear. Like, you have an accidental pregnancy and now you have a wife, but you don't live together and it's not a
right.
real thing.
But they do live together. Divorce. They must live together. Exactly.
Divorce.
Then divorce.
Like,
yes.
What's going on here?
Exactly. Writer, I hope you're hearing this. If it was all that bad, they wouldn't still be together. That wife is clueless as to what's going on. Oh my God, though. Imagine how what a reckoning for this poor person who wrote this when they found out he was married. That's a huge, like, traumatic thing to find out.
Yes.
I dated a guy once that he had a secret kid and he didn't tell me about the kid.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. But the kid didn't live with him. But, like, I was, like, dating him and he was, like, so crazy. He called himself William Rockwell, but that wasn't his real name.
Wow.
He had a fake name. He was such a good musician, which is why I got totally bamboozled.
His real name. I know this guy. His real name was William Rock Poorly. And he changed it for his music career.
Just for the music career. Yeah. Rockwell.
Rock, actually quite well.
He was so insane. And then, like, he was, like, he ghosted me for a bit. And then, like, during that, this guy was, like... Oh, yeah. I was like, where has this guy been? He didn't just ghost me. He like kind of dropped off the face of the earth.
Mm.
And then he's like, I think he's like visiting his kid. I'm like, sorry, who? What?
Yeah.
I've dated him for months without knowing he had a kid.
Months.
And he was insane. He was an insane liar. He was a complete sociopath and like psychopath.
It's, Jackie, your dating history.
I know. Isn't it wild?
Wild.
It's so crazy.
At least tell me this guy had his own drum that he lived in. At least tell me he was going home to his own drum.
I never went to his place for so long. And then finally I was like, that's it. I want to see where you fucking live.
Yeah.
And then he finally let me in. And it was clear that a woman lived there. It was clear that it was a woman's apartment.
It had a woman's
and he
touch.
Was just like squatting there.
Right.
Yeah. But then he had photo albums of the kid there. He's like, I'll show you my daughter.
Oh, so he opened up eventually.
Yeah. But
once
like,
he was
but
caught
whose
out.
Apartment is this?
Yeah. It's a lady apartment.
So nuts.
Like it had anyone like it had like from... the woman's sign like sign with the like the cross yeah. cross coming out of the circle.
Yeah. And it had a bunch of just pantyhose hanging and drying everywhere. It was like a car wash of pantyhose hanging and drying.
Yeah.
So much pink, so much purple.
So many covers of Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, except only the Women Are From Venus part.
yeah, just that was showing.
Yeah.
No, my last one piece of advice. For this person.
Okay.
They need to, you need to ask for some kind of proof of something. Like if this marriage is on that's out, show me some kind of proof or like tell me that there's like something in motion for that you guys are breaking up or you're looking for apartments or I want to hear something from her. If you're dating again, like if this was all cool and kosher with the wife, then he should be able to be open about it.
Yeah.
Like, okay, have me over. I mean, I know that sounds crazy, but like, oh, fine, let's have coffee with your wife then.
Yeah.
or something to prove.
I think the best answer you've given is disguise yourself as a wife's friend
and find out from her.
Root around from the inside.
Yeah, no, that is the best advice, because you're not gonna get the truth otherwise.
Question number two: my partner wants to buy a Dyson vacuum, but I don't think we have a big enough carpet to justify such an expensive vacuum, and think a cheaper, more basic model will suffice. But they think it should be a long-term investment, and that a cheap one will just break sooner. So why not get a good and proper one now? What do you think? So equal magnitude as the last question.
God, I didn't know if I could handle another really intense situation, but obviously I am handling it quite well.
Yeah, are you feeling triggered by this?
I am triggered. I know immediately where I stand.
Okay.
The Dyson.
Get the Dyson, babe.
Like, it's true. Every vacuum I've ever had that's not a Dyson, especially if like I've had a little area rug and I'm like, oh well, I don't need something. I'll just get a Shark or like something, or one of those like stick ones, or ones that are like, don't do it. Don't fucking do it. Yeah. Get a Dyson. Because the Dyson will outlast your carpet.
Yeah.
It will move with you through every stage of life.
Some of the best conversations I've ever had in my life were with a Dyson.
they
stick with you no matter what.
They're there for you, thick and thin.
Through new love, old love,
literally
breakups.
Through thick and thin pile. Like, you can press that button for like deep pile carpets.
Yeah, thick pile.
Yeah, it's the best.
Thin
and
pile.
Also, don't get the one that goes on the wall, that charges on the wall. Get the one that's like the actual real vacuum with the roller ball.
Salt of the earth,
yeah,
Dyson.
I have that.
Working blue collar Dyson.
Yes, no cordless charging on the wall, because they don't have a lot of life to the charge.
Yeah.
One of our wedding gifts that we bought ourselves with our like wedding money was a Dyson.
Wow.
And it's the best.
Could I quote something?
Please.
Life is a voyage, not a destination. Do you know who said that to me?
Dyson.
An old school ground bound Dyson vacuum cleaner. Mid thick
with
pile.
A cord. I thought you were going to say life is a journey, not a destination.
That's better. And I should have.
And also Dyson himself in those commercials, he's hot.
There's a Dyson?
Yeah, he's the guy.
Which guy?
He's like German or something. He's got like a black turtleneck and like really white hair. He doesn't sound hot when I describe him like that.
Like,
or he's like Swedish,
like,
or something.
Andy Warhol.
He's like elegant. Yeah, he is. He kind of looks like a new kind of like pop art sort of like dandy, like hot dandy. I'm going to look up where he's from. He's Dyson. Hot. The Dyson founder is not the same guy that's on the commercials. He's not hot.
I heard that the Dyson founder died by riding a Dyson off a cliff. Is that true?
Yeah, he was like vacuuming on the side of a cliff.
Yeah, on the side of a cliff.
And it was a cordless one, so there was nothing keeping him on that cliff.
Yeah, he could have. Yeah, except he lost his balance.
And who else died like that? Oh yeah, the Atkins guy died of a heart attack.
Yeah, he was riding a big piece of meat, a big wheel of steak down the side of a cliff.
What do you think this person should do?
This person, what was the question? Oh,
the Dyson thing?
I can't believe I forgot that. By the way, this is a good time to mention that our episode is brought to you by Shark Vacuums.
No, they don't work.
Shark Vacuums, they don't work, but you can fuck them. And you have to. Did you hear that the creator of the Fleshlight fucked a Fleshlight off a cliff? Okay, here's a quick one. Jackie, I'm getting real worried about winter. Shorter days, longer night times, and awful cold weather. What can I do to spice up my winter blues? Interesting mixed metaphor at the end there. Spice up your blues.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't mind it.
This is so real. I don't usually get affected by like seasonal affective disorder. Like I don't think I've really been victim of that. But this one I am. This one I can really feel it. So I really understand you, writer, where you're coming from. Know what? I feel like having little things to look forward to that don't require having to leave your house that much are key. Like recently I saw like little project, like a stupid project.
Please stop
what?
Promoting the Dyson vacuum. Like, let's say there's a little dust.
Let's say there's
pile.
Some dust in your
How
house.
How are you going to get rid of that?
Or like in the cushions, you want to let you feel some crumbs in the cushions and you've got these attachments. Something to look forward to. Yeah. No, but have, okay, I think like having a little thing to try that you've never tried before really helps me like look forward to things. Like, for example, I'm planning on doing this soon, making, okay, this is so fucking nerdy and like you're going to roll your eyes and it's so boring as well. Mm. But I'm going to make an orange garland to hang in my window to let the light in through the oranges.
Okay.
So you like slice an orange and then like dehydrate it in your oven for however much. I have to like read how to do it again. And then like string it and hang it in your window and it looks almost like stained glass. Mm. And like that sounds so fucking boring. And like you don't think I'd be caught dead doing that in the summer when I'm running the streets being crazy and partying and like party animal and enjoying the outdoors.
Right.
But it's something to do. Give yourself something to look forward to.
And just in your defense, you do party drugs before you make stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like you're not sober. You're not a nerd.
Yeah, I'm like high out of my mind making these orange garlands. Yeah, you're on ketamine making orange garlands. Yeah, at least ketamine, at least.
At least.
But just, I think that helps me. And like get a little, okay, I've heard this too. These aren't funny answers, but like I've heard that getting a little sunlight as soon as you wake up will color your whole day. So right. Like the second you wake up, go outside and just look up at the sky. Like
right into the
right
sun.
Look into the sun.
Look into the sun. What are you afraid of?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. A little winter fucking bitch.
Or if you have some private outdoor space, I heard that sunning your perineum is like really good for you.
What's your perineum?
It's the it taint your dick and it taint your asshole.
Oh my god. Who told you sun your perineum?
You've never heard of this before?
No.
It's a huge freaking thing right now.
Are you quoting that Mad magazine I gave you? Because that's a prank. That's a joke, Jackie.
This is 100% real. People are outside on their backs like a beetle, like a flipped over beetle, on their backs with their knees to their chest, sunning their perineum. I'm not joking. And it's like, it gives you like vitamin and light and vitamin into your root chakra.
Oh, then there's no, don't do this.
I don't do it. But I'm saying if you're really badly affected by seasonal affective disorder, what? You're not going to try getting vitamin D sun on your perineum? Perineum?
Yeah. So yeah, listener. Just sort of bright and early, wake up, strip naked, point your ass towards the sun.
Yeah.
Don't worry about your hole. It's not about that.
No, but you
don't worry about your genitals. You do have to worry about
your holes as
well. It's just that little strip.
That's the most important part, but it's just like genitals in general.
Sun your genitals.
Yeah, yeah. That's okay. Am I alone in this? You know,
no.
It is real. So look, I'm just saying, try that. Try little things.
Don't try it. Don't do that. Don't do it. Your chakra.
I'm kind of reticent to do the orange garland though, because food is so fucking expensive.
Reticent to do the orange garland of the two things you've said. I don't know if I can afford to cut up an orange with my.
What, with the cost of living? You're cutting up an orange just for decoration? It seems crazy.
An orange is so cheap.
I'm really looking forward to it though, because when I saw it on the picture online, it looks like beautiful stained glass. Like, okay, I think make your home, do little things to make your home as comfortable and happy as possible, because we're going to be inside so much. We don't want to go outside in minus fucking 25 degree weather. Yeah. So that's what I'm doing. I hope that helps the person. What's your advice?
For the winter months? Mm. Oof, I don't have any. I just get miserable no matter what month.
Do you really?
It is.
Oh, no matter what month.
But I never blame it on the weather.
Okay.
Except heat. Actually, I do blame it on when it's super hot.
I hate that. Oh, here's my, I have even better advice.
Okay.
And I did this last year and it's so nice. Go to Value Village or thrift stores or go look on eBay, look online for an amazing ski suit, a one piece ski suit of snow pants and jacket. Yeah. Get like Under Armour, like long underwear, like long johns, and go for winter walks. Because you know what? We're always like so concerned about like looking fucking cool and like not getting dressed up warm enough when we go from place to place. And that's why the winter really sucks. But if you're really, really warmly dressed and you go for a nice walk, like right when the sun is first out or in the evening, whenever you can, it does wonders. It does wonders.
I bet you in a snowsuit waddling around in the winter would look like one of the little creatures from the movie The Brood. Have you ever seen that movie?
I didn't know that, no.
Well, have a look in the mirror. Next time you wear a red snowsuit, orange snowsuit.
Okay, I will look.
You'll be brooding around.
The Brood. That's me.
Now, and here's the thing though, Jackie, if I may, about snowsuits that you buy at Value Village or anywhere.
Yeah.
You may notice that they're completely intact from nape to hole.
Yes, there's nothing exposed. Why? Why do you mention
You're
that?
You're gonna want to take some scissors and just cut a little strip out between sort of between the front and the back, round waist level,
like in the underwear zone.
Underwear zone.
The and, gusset.
Yeah, sure, the gusset. And that'll just help you with your chakras.
Yeah. So get out in your snowsuit. Hole is cut.
Yeah.
Do a headstand.
Yeah. Then what you're going to, well, even if you don't want to do a headstand, here's what you're going to do. You're going to get a dentist's mirror, a little tooth mirror. You're going to dangle that just below the strip.
Yeah.
And you're going to reflect this. You're going to catch the sun.
That's a great way to do it kind of discreetly.
Yeah. Or anyone walking by is going to see right at your slot there. And that's kind of fun too.
That's our advice.
We call it the down periscope.
Yes.
This final segment is called Big Choice.
Oh, yes.
We take a character from history or fiction who made a big choice.
Yeah.
We discuss from an advice perspective what we think of that choice.
Yeah. Was it the right choice? Could there have been another choice?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Today's character, Mr. Dr. Captain Ahab.
Oh my God, Ahab.
So Ahab made a big choice.
Which was?
To devote his life to the pursuit of vengeance in the form of a great big white whale.
Yes.
Who may or may not have represented God, and to sacrifice the lives of any seaman who accompanied him in his lifelong drudge towards the end. I lost the thread there.
We got there.
He wanted to kill a whale.
Yeah.
And he was willing to sacrifice himself and everyone.
Yeah.
Everything. Everything for it.
Yeah.
Do we like that choice? It's a biggie.
It's a huge choice. It's an ongoing, sustained choice.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I haven't read it. Why was he so mad at the whale? What did the whale do?
I don't know. I have seen the movie. And I've read like 40 pages of the book. No, wait, I was listening to an audiobook.
Okay.
And it was really funny because it was like a free audiobook site.
Uh-huh.
So people would just submit.
Okay.
So it'd just be like anyone.
Oh,
not like a
anyone
famous,
reading?
Anyone.
Anyone is reading
like
it.
You could submit to this website
tomorrow.
Okay. Or not you, someone who's never spoken out loud in their life.
Oh my God.
Like certainly not public speakers. So what became clear very early in this recording was that this guy had tried to record all of Moby Dick very quickly.
Okay.
So he lost his voice like page 10 and then never gave himself the time for it to recover. So his voice just got more and more haggard.
This is his own Moby Dick, is him trying to finish that book.
Yeah, exactly.
To sacrifice his health.
Yeah.
He's not seeing his family.
But I couldn't get too far into it because like every chapter is fucked. Like every chapter is like 5 pages, let's say. 5 minutes of listening. And everyone starts with, he approached the door of the tavern. Decorated with the memories of everyone who had passed through it before, from king to peasant. This door had seen lifetimes. Describe the door. 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 Door.
The starting of every chapter.
Door. Door. This is a sample chapter.
Oh, sorry.
Door. 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 And then the chapter ends 5 minutes later with, and with that he entered the tavern. You're like, oh my God.
Like just
God.
Too much detail.
So much detail.
Oh,
and
God.
Like kind of like wry detail,
uh-huh.
But like long-winded wry detail.
What
like,
do you mean wry detail?
Like it's kind of a little bit of like a twinkle in the eye, like a Dickens kind of sentence there's like a little bit of humor to it.
Right.
But every sentence is like a door unlike any that had been seen in that seaside town since time immemorial, or a door like any other door. And to a passerby, it would seem no different
than
from
any other
the doors
door,
leading to less hallowed
walking
institutions.
Through the door.
But to the seamen walking through that door.
Okay, it sounds like a fucking nightmare. I would never get through that.
It's a lot. Yeah, like even my friend who said it was his favorite book in college, and it might still be his favorite book, was like, yeah, there's like a full 100 pages of descriptions of types of whales.
That sounds like
no,
a
he
Daniel
doesn't say it could be cut out. He loved it.
Oh.
He was like, I wanted to hear... Like, give me page upon page of whales.
But it sounds like a Danielle Steele. Because Danielle Steele books, you know, they're like that big.
Yeah.
They could be that big. There's so much repetition and so much description.
Right.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Danielle Steele and, you know, Moby Dick.
Yeah.
I've never read
Two
Moby Dick.
Two overrated cultural artifacts.
But okay, so we don't know why he's mad at the whale.
Well, okay, so I think the whales, here's what I think, is that it's done him dirty in the past.
Right.
I think it... Went like on a previous whaling voyage,
yeah.
The whale kind of attacked his vessel,
yeah,
fucked him up, probably whatever it was,
mm-hmm.
But he was unable to kill it. and it messed him up.
Yeah, so it's just constant vengeance.
And so the lesson to take away from that conventionally is take your licking. Some things in nature are bigger than man.
Yes.
And you can't conquer everything.
Yeah.
But Ahab had a different approach.
He wanted to
devote
his life to doing it. And it was a fool's errand in the end.
Well, he does die.
Right.
But
does the whale die too?
Was that foolish? I don't actually know.
Oh my Lord. Well, let's see. Let's just take it by itself, its decision. I know what my dad would say?
What?
He hates whales so fucking much. The other day, I follow this account called like Discover Ocean. It's so cool. And they had found this like, my dad hates whales and sharks. They found this like huge shark tooth. And I was like, I want to show people this because it's so crazy and cool. It's like so big. I didn't even want to show my dad because I know what he would say. Those fucking sharks. We need to get rid of all those fucking sharks and the whales too.
It's crazy.
It's crazy.
The ecosystem.
Exactly. He said they don't do nothing for anyone. And all they do is kill us. They fucking kill us all in the ocean. But and they're useless.
Name the last time a shark paid taxes. paid taxes to my community. Show me which part of my community is being...
Can I tell you that my dad does not have a community? He doesn't want one, and he doesn't got one. He's like,
what's his beef with sharks and
he
whales?
He just thinks that all they do is murder us. They make us not be able to swim. Oh, and know what his beef is
Walk
with the whales?
Up?
The
what?
Whales?
What?
They're eating all our plankton, and we need that plankton for stuff. What do you need the plankton for? Well, there's like a deficit of plankton now because of the whales. I said, Dad, you get rid of one species, the whole ecosystem is out of whack.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't care. They're fucked up. They're fucked. Fuck. They need to get fucked off. They need to get killed. So my dad would say that Ahab made the right decision. To even devote your life to killing at least one whale is at least a dent in like what needs to be done, which is killing all the whales.
Has your dad ever, like, do you know anything about where these philosophies came from? Like,
nope.
Was he ever at sea?
Never.
He's never been a fisherman.
Never.
He's never been attacked.
Never.
By a sea creature.
Nope.
So he's just like, he saw Jaws.
Oh, he loves Jaws.
Of course he does, because they kill a whale.
Yeah, well, a shark.
It's a shark? Wait, and Free Willy's the one where a shark escapes into the ocean?
Yeah, a shark does a really cinematic leap.
And the kid likes him for some reason.
My dad would say Ahab is making the best decision ever. I'd say this. No. Oh my God. You don't. You just have to let. Okay. And I'm a very vengeful person. I'm a spiteful person.
Yeah.
I will. I have gotten revenge. I have devoted a lot of time to vengeance and spite and, you know, what I think, what I conceive of as justice for myself.
Yeah.
No, it's not worth it. Just go chill out. Go to a movie. There's so much stuff to do on land.
Yeah.
Like there's so many pub doors to discover.
What if you're a peg-legged old freak who's devoted his life to the sea and then a whale messes you up? And here's what's important. The whale represents God a bit. And
you're right.
And the impossibility of ever being... of ever having control over your own life with that pesky God up above,
right,
always reminding you that there are
you're not
in control and you're not the strongest thing on God's earth, on his earth.
Right, right.
What do you do? I mean, if you are a land-bound person, how do you show God that you're not afraid of him?
I guess go after that whale. You're right. You're right. There's no other way. You're not going to do anything that... You know, there's not going to be that much pageantry at your disposal on land. I guess you've got to be like, I don't belong on the sea, but look who's on the sea, bitch.
Yeah, look who's on the sea. Oh, did I kill one of your favorite whales, God? Sorry.
Is a
white... Oh, wait.
Not sorry. Is a white whale like very uncommon?
I don't know. I think it's a sperm whale in the book.
Ew, I hate that name. Why is it that? Why is it sperm whale? Why sperm? Why? Give me one good reason why we have to call that sperm whale.
You want like jizz whale or what do you, what would you prefer?
Just any other, I mean, it could be any other kind of name. Is it just these pervs trying to get everyone to have to say sperm?
Yeah, the scientists are like.
Yeah, they're like.
Which kind of whale did you want to see again?
Sorry, we didn't hear you. What whale?
But a blue whale, it's short for blue balls whale.
Oh, that's right. And I'm so glad we finally dropped that balls out of it.
Yeah.
No, I think, fine. You know what? If he had to do it, he had to do it. If he felt like that was his thing, fine. Who am I to stop
him? What do you do to show God that you're not afraid?
Some really dumb stuff. Like you know, like I'll walk home at night in the dark. I shouldn't do that.
Oh.
Like I do lots of risky behaviors.
Right.
and like to show that I'm in charge.
Right.
But it's stupid.
Right.
It's stupid. It's dangerous.
What I do to show God I'm not afraid is to live a crazy life of sin.
Oh, like what is it? What are your main sins?
Coveting.
Oh my God.
Oh, I covet. I covet. Oh.
Oh, I do gluttony.
Oh, I'm sorry, my neighbor. Is that your wife? Oh, be a shame if someone were to covet her. Oh, I'm sorry, my neighbor. Is that your property, your home, and your goods and your things? Oh, I need to covet all your stuff.
And do you do sloth? I mean, you're sitting down right now.
Yeah, I could be walking right now.
Yeah, I do glutton. Like, I'm a piglet for piglety snacks. Like, get a bag of Miss Vickies in front of me.
Yeah.
I'm sinning, honey.
Yeah, I do lust.
Oh, yeah?
Ooh, ooh, ooh. It would be a shame if someone was to do lust after my neighbor's wife. Well, that's a bit redundant after all the covet.
Absolutely.
After all the covet.
I'd lust over a bag of original Miss Vickies.
Yeah.
I'm licking my lips. I'm lusting.
And what else does, what else do people get killed for in the film Seven?
Sloth, gluttony.
Oh, wrath.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
wait,
my God.
Come on. Wrath is fine.
I am swimming in wrath.
I love wrath.
Every freaking Christmas, I give somebody a box with someone's head in it.
Is that wrath?
That's the end.
Is that Seven? That's
Seven.
Wrath?
No, actually, wrath is when, because the bad guy, Kevin Spacey,
yeah.
Bad in the movie.
Yeah. No, of course, an angel in IRL.
Good in real life. We like him. Gives Brad Pitt the box with Gwyneth's head in it.
Right. But which
head.
One is that sin?
Well, wrath is when Brad can't take the high road and he kills Kevin. So he does the final sin. And that's a heavy spoiler on the film Seven, a movie that my mom brought me and my friends to for my birthday in grade 6.
Oh my God. Well, that's my take on Ahab.
I think we got it. What was your take?
Well, at first I was like, come on, just like live, go chill out. You don't have to do this. What's your proof? But then you immediately changed my mind by saying, but what about showing God that you're in charge? I'm like, oh yeah, actually, yeah then do it.
Yeah.
What else have you got to do?
Yeah. Give yourself a little purpose, even if it leads to your demise
yeah.
and the demise of people who trust you.
Yeah. And if the people that trust you are willing to come out with you, that's their problem.
Yeah. This is what I would say to Ishmael and Queequeg and all the other boys and Starbuck and all the other boys on Ahab's ship. When somebody tells you who he is, believe him.
Believe men.
If Ahab tells you what he's after and what he's about, believe Ahab. You don't need to see more proof. He's crazy.
Yeah.
He's a peg-legged freak who only wants to kill a whale. Actually, that's unfair to Ishmael and the crew because I don't think they knew that.
I don't know a thing about this crew.
They just join the ship and they don't see Ahab for quite some time. He's like a shadowy lurker.
Oh.
And, but then they get a real eyeful eventually. But you know the first line of a Moby Dick.
Yeah, call me it. No.
By your name.
What is the first line?
No, it's call me by your name, and then the climax is Ahab coming in a peach for Ishmael to eat.
Okay, between this episode and next episode, I will read the entirety of Moby Dick. And in the meantime, if you have anything you need help with, please write us at the link on my Instagram at Jackie Pierico. We love your anonymous questions. Keep them coming in.
On behalf of Jackie, it's me, Mark, and thank you to our producer, Stefan.
We love you, Stefan.
And we love all of you. Be well.
Be well. But don't be too well because we need your questions. Bye.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Sonar Network.